Greetings and good morning, Western Colorado. Thanks so much for listening to Mountain Grown Public Radio, KVNF. It's 8 o'clock, and here's your local newscast for Thursday, March 28th. The only requirement for Colorado lawmakers during the annual legislative session is passing a budget. And unlike previous years, there won't be cuts for programs like K-12 schools, state contractors, and public employees. But as Benta Berkland reports, debate in the Senate yesterday was still extensive.
With Colorado's economy improving, state lawmakers have some extra wiggle room in crafting a budget. Democratic Senator Pat Stubman of Denver chairs the bipartisan Joint Budget Committee, which has spent months writing what's known as the long bill.
There's a lot more work to do. But this year, we've had the opportunity to make strategic investments in Colorado's economy and Colorado's people.
Stedman says there's money to help prop up and strengthen the state's child welfare system, schools, and mental health programs such as psychologists and state prisons.
A lot of work has gone into this, a lot of thoughtfulness. I think we've made some very good decisions.
The roughly $8 billion discretionary part of the budget pays for most state services, with education spending accounting for nearly half of that. And even as lawmakers are beginning to restore previous cuts, funding for K-12 schools is still about $1 billion behind because of the recession. Republican Senator Scott Renfro of Greeley offered an amendment to add back nearly $90 million.
This is a way to put more money into K-12 education. Let's do it for the kids.
And while Democrats want more money for schools, they defeated the amendment and say the details of education funding should be debated as part of the separate School Finance Act, not the budget. And at the same time Renfro tried to add more money for schools, he also said lawmakers should save more.
Let's proceed cautiously and truly look at where we're at within this budget, where we're spending, probably at the expense of the jobs that we always talk about.
The floor debate is the only chance for most lawmakers to weigh in on the lengthy budget process. Last session, when Republicans controlled the House, it passed with nearly unanimous bipartisan support. But this year, Democrats control both chambers, and the Republican tone is much different. Committee member Kent Lambert of Colorado Springs signaled that the budget wouldn't get much GOP support.
While some of the fundamentals of the budget are very good, we take exception to many parts of this budget.
The legislature's divisive fight over gun control appeared to drive Lambert's decision. Democrats have passed controversial bills to limit high-capacity magazines and require universal background checks for gun purchases. Lambert says a vote for the current budget allows Democratic overreach.
We have effectively banned gun ownership from the citizens of the state, and as public policy, we should try to do no harm. But yet I think we've gone too far in some of our actions this year, and this budget enables those actions to proceed.
Wednesday's debate largely centered on shifting around relatively small amounts of money. And despite Republican criticism over the budget, Democratic Senator John Kafalas of Fort Collins praised it for being prudent.
We are putting money in rainy day funds. We are increasing the state reserve to 5%, and we're trying to make investments that are paying off now as far as jobs, that are paying off now in terms of helping those who are most vulnerable.
The state constitution requires lawmakers to pass a balanced budget each year, and many of the Senate amendments will likely be stripped when the House takes up the bill next week. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that the BLM has approved two lease modifications for the West Elk Mine, adding 10 million tons of coal to the existing 19 million tons available for mining. The additional coal lies beneath 1,721 acres in the North Fork Valley. The West Elk Mine, owned by Arch Coal Company, produced 6 million tons of coal in 2011 and has been in operation since 1982. It employs 378 people, most of whom live in Delta County, and provides about $2 million annually in tax revenues to Gunnison County. The BLM estimates that the total direct economic benefits associated with the three coal mines in the North Fork Valley exceed $60 million annually. A coalition of environmental organizations in December filed a notice of intent to sue the Forest Service under the Endangered Species Act for failing to ensure that the mine expansion would not harm lynx. The conservation groups said the agency failed to consider that the lease expansion will permit Arch Coal to bulldoze additional roads through lynx habitat on other nearby national forest and private lands. According to the Delta County Independent, recently retired County Commissioner Olin Lund will seek a seat on the DMEA board, representing District 3. The seat is currently held by Ed Marston, who is seeking re-election. Ballots will be mailed to DMEA members on May 20th. District 3 includes Hotchkiss, Paonia, and Crawford. The autopsy performed on Kent Calhoun, who died in his home east of Crawford on E81 Road on Monday, revealed the cause of death to be a gunshot wound to his chest caused by a Remington 44 caliber Magnum revolver. The death was ruled a suicide. Toxicology results were not yet available. In the gunfight on Monday, Calhoun shot at two Montrose Sheriff's deputies. One was hit twice, but has returned home after being treated at St. Mary's Hospital in Grand Junction. The Associated Press reports that hunters across the country say they are boycotting Colorado because of recent legislation meant to curtail gun violence. Colorado last week became the first Western state to pass gun regulation. Opponents warned that the gun controls would hurt hunters, especially an expansion of background check requirements in personal and online gun sales. Out-of-state hunters accounted for 15% of hunting licenses issued in Colorado last year. There were 86,000 licenses issued, compared with 489,000 for residents. In local prep baseball action, Paonia split a doubleheader Tuesday night against Nucla, and two Cedar Edge athletes were a force to reckon with in track last Saturday. KVNF's Tammy Meck has this and more in the weekly sports report.
After giving away a run in the top of the first inning and allowing a second run in the top of the second, Paonia got down to business Tuesday night. The Eagles hit 3 home runs and 12 RBIs to defeat visiting Nucla 16-5 in Game 1 of a non-conference doubleheader. With one out in the bottom of the first inning, senior first baseman Tyler Kendall hit the team's first home run of the season, bringing in Michael Wilmore in the process to tie the game at 2-2. In the bottom of the second, senior third baseman Jorge Quiñones hit the first home run of his career, a 350-foot grand slam hit over center field, and senior catcher Jacob Leon hit a walk-off 3-run homer in the fifth. The Eagles' celebration was cut short, however. Nucla rallied to win Game 2 by a score of 4-3. On Saturday, Paonia swept a conference doubleheader over Hotchkiss, blanking the Bulldogs 9-0 in Game 1 and scoring 6 runs in the 6th inning for a 12-6 win in Game 2. Paonia and Hotchkiss both host league doubleheaders this Saturday. Hotchkiss will welcome Meeker and Paonia will face Rangeley. The Paonia doubleheader will also be a fundraiser for the family of Greg Podgorny, who is battling Lou Gehrig's disease. Both series begin at 11 a.m. The Montrose 9 remain undefeated after 7 games. The Indians delivered a crushing 22-4 win on March 16th over Eagle Valley and defeated Delta 16-1 last week. They hit the road this weekend, playing Montezuma Cortez Friday and Durango Saturday. The Cedar Edge boys track team scored 34 points to place 9th overall at Saturday's Mickey Dunn track meet in Grand Junction. While that doesn't sound impressive, consider that the team consisted of 2 athletes. Jumper Reed Gates scored 20 points with wins in the long jump and high jump. Gates was the only athlete in the high jump to clear 6 feet. His winning jump of 6 feet 8 inches also set a new meet record in the event. Gates' record was one of only 2 meet records to fall at this year's Invitational. Teammate Dante Markley won the 110-meter high hurdles and placed 5th in the 100-meter dash. Also at Mickey Dunn, Delta's Brianna Music won the girls' shot put with a throw of 38 feet 4 inches, and teammate Callie Gafford cleared 5 feet to place 2nd in the high jump. Chris Black placed 2nd in the men's 300-meter hurdles. Hotchkiss Jr. Jenny Solis claimed her second meet record at the 13th annual Hotchkiss Invitational. Solis, who holds the record in the 800, won the 400-meter dash in 57.5 seconds. The Hotchkiss girls team scored 94 points to place fourth overall. The Paonia girls won six events and scored 143.5 points to win the team title. The Hotchkiss boys team finished second with 121 points and three first-place finishes. Bulldog Alex Smith won the 800. Cody Bartlett claimed the 1600, and Kurt Catstorn finished first in the 3200. Coleridge High School scored an impressive 226 points to win the boys' team title. Look for more records to fall at this Saturday's Cedar Edge Invitational, where highs in the low 60s are forecast. Events begin at 9 a.m. Meet details are available at scottmeets.wikispace.com. If you can't make it to the meet, you can follow it throughout the day. Results will be posted at this site as they become available. And for wrestling fans, this Saturday, a team of some of the area's top-ranked high school wrestlers will duel a team from Germany in freestyle or Olympic-style wrestling. The event will be held at Central High School in Grand Junction. Wrestling begins at 10 a.m. I also want to thank everyone who gave so generously during last week's KVNF pledge drive. You are all winners. For KVNF News, I'm Tammy Meck.
And finally today, there were 300 sandhill cranes last night at Fruit Growers Reservoir in Eckert. That brings the total this season to 8,263 birds, as reported by Evelyn Horn for KVNF. And that concludes your daily newscast for Thursday. For KVNF Mountain Grown Public Radio, I'm Eric Gould.